Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Braden, D-Mace, Marquise with you here. Hour number two on a Monday. Normally we talk to Corey Curtis from News 2 coming off of a Titans game on Sunday, but the Titans had a bye, but Corey did not take the week off. He's with us here on Morning Drive. Corey, how are you?
I'm delightful. How are you this morning, guys?
We're doing excellent. So John Robinson, Mike Vrabel, they probably got together, I guess, at some point over the last couple of days and said, we got to get somebody down to Atlanta to take a look at Colin Kaepernick, probably a low-level scout. They were one of eight teams to be represented. What do you think the interest level is in Kaepernick and the Titans as far as this organization goes, considering they don't have a quarterback under contract next year?
Yeah, I'm surprised they showed up. But, you know, I think you always do your due diligence. But this is a guy who hasn't played in 3 years, and you know that's not a lot of rust. That's an epic amount of rust that if you were to bring him back. But like I said, you do your due diligence. You know, I would be even more stunned if they signed him.
Now, I mean, we can sit here and we can talk about the whole Colin Kaepernick thing and them sending a representative. Because I think ultimately, because you don't have a quarterback on roster next year under contract, I mean, it's one of those things. You go see him, you file it away, and he becomes, you know, a part of an evaluation of the quarterbacks, period. I think it's better to have and not need than need and not have.
Well, and also it could be a cheap second quarterback.
Exactly. I don't think you're bringing him in here. You would rather sign Tannehill to a 2 or 3 year deal than to have to bring Colin Kaepernick in who hadn't played in 3 years and then ask him to be your starting quarterback. I think that would be a stretch. Backup, yes, but starter at this point, I don't know if that's at least not to start off. Looking at what happened in the division yesterday, Houston gets blown out, Indianapolis comes back and win. Is that a better scenario for the Tennessee Titans that Houston lost and Indy won, or does it put them further back? You would have rather had Indy lose and maybe Houston win.
Well, I mean, Houston's playing a non-divisional opponent, so you want them to lose no matter what. So that's a huge win for them. And I guess you could go either way with Jacksonville, Indy. But as far as the next game goes, now you face a Jacksonville team whose season is about over. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, they were believing that Nick Foles was going to rally them to the finish, you know, that was shown to not be the case. So my point is you're facing a Jacksonville team that's probably on the brink. And so that helps you with the next one considerably. So you've still got a chance to catch Indy in the loss column, you know, head to head. And then you got to take care of the rest of your stuff. So I think yesterday's a pretty good day.
Hey, Corey, outside of health, because I think, you know, Delaney, Jayon Brown, Jarrell Casey, you can go down the list of guys that were banged up. It certainly came at the right time for the health of the team. But outside of that, what is it that this coaching staff and this team can actually accomplish in a bye week? I don't know how they fix issues that don't seem fixable.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about things like discipline, on the offensive line, you know, the fundamentals of getting some of those things shored up, that would seem to be difficult to fix in the bye week for sure. So, you know, they've got to find a way. You know, having said that, Braden, the Falcons figured out something in their bye week because they're 2-0 since then, and they were just god awful before then. So maybe in their internal scouting, they find one or two holes in what they've been doing strategically, and they get them fixed. I mean, that's what you can hope for.
Corey Curtis, News 2, joining us. So let's think about what do we want here in Nashville with the Titans as far as the quarterback position goes. long term. And I'm talking about in the NFL draft, because if you look at the AFC landscape right now, Corey, excuse me, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, if I can clear my throat today.
Being very, very choked up about it.
Very emotional. Damn coffee. So Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes all played in certain systems in college. Then you throw in Josh Allen, you throw in Baker Mayfield, certain systems in college. They all have varying degrees of mobility. We've seen this franchise for 20 years have quarterbacks that were mobile, whether it's McNair, Mariota, certain systems in college.
BY.
Yeah, exactly. So what do you personally want to see the Titans do? Do you want that dual threat quarterback that played in an air raid type system, read option type stuff? Or do you want to go more what has stood the test of time, and that is the drop back pocket guy?
You know, for me, I'm more of a drop back pocket guy, but I'm not sold on absolutely anything. For me, that's more of a health concern. Is, you know, longer term, I feel like guys who play the game in the pocket, you know, are generally going to last longer. But Russell Wilson doesn't always play the games in the pocket. He stayed perfectly healthy. So there's no absolutes to that. I guess overall, I prefer a guy who plays from the pocket and is athletic. I like more than a guy who is just an athlete running around. Lamar is sensational, don't get me wrong, and amazing to watch. But I more prefer the athlete who kind of starts from the pocket, can buy time. You know, I guess, you know, Russell Wilson, you know, that more of an aspect than the guy who's going to run for 500 to 1,000 yards.
Corey, I think the Vols have given up less points in the last three football games, and the Predators have allowed goals in the last four games, which is really, really hard to do. What do you make of how the Predators' defense is playing and now losing 6 out of 7?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to give up 7 goals and 9 goals. I mean, you don't see that. You know, when you take a lot of chances offensively, you create a lot of opportunities. We know that there's going to be some give and take with that, but right now there's way too much giving, and you know you don't want to buckle down and go back to playing 1-0, 2-1 hockey all the time, but they've got to find that balance. And, you know, that's kind of what the early season is about. But we didn't see that in the earliest part of the season quite as much as we're seeing it now. So they've, you know, I think they've got to rein it in a little bit tighter and probably a little bit, you know, they'll probably have to overreact, I guess. Overreact in the other way to find the happy medium, because you're just not going to win a lot of games giving up 7 goals.
Corey, always a pleasure. We appreciate the time. Thanks for popping on.
All right. Thanks, fellas. We'll talk about it next week.
You got it. Corey Curtis, News 2, joining us here every Monday on Morning Drive. We're going to get to the Preds coming up at the bottom of the hour, their defensive disaster right now. Also, when we come back, the playoffs coming up in the NFL, the AFC race, what transpired yesterday, how it affects the Titans. We'll do all of that on the other side of Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I've been telling you, man, check it out. I've been telling you about my good friends over at Cool Springs MD for a while now. Over the years, they have more men have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and his wife Daphne, along with that brilliant and experienced staff, they give men the treatment required to improve their quality of life. Cool Springs MD services have already helped many men of Brentwood, Nashville, Franklin, and the surrounding areas in Tennessee with improving their immune systems, energy levels, cognitive functions, and more. Yes, I said more. So you know what that more is, man. They are there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. And as I said every time, who doesn't want a healthier and more enriched life? And they are there, and there's no better time to achieve a healthier lifestyle or a healthy lifestyle than now. What are you waiting on, man? Give Cool Springs MD a call today. Make that appointment. What are you waiting on? Pull out your smartphones, whatever smartphone it is, pull it out. If you don't have a smartphone, pull out of your pencil, a pen, piece of paper, old school style. Write this number down. If you're listening to us, pull over quickly. Hurry up now. Here's the number, 615-486-3458, 615-486-3458, or visit the website, coolspringsmd.com.
718, welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Braden, D-Mace, Marquise with you. So the playoff race in the AFC yesterday, obviously the Titans with a bye, but a couple of things go the Titans' way, a couple of things not so much. Two things that really stood out. One, how about the Baltimore Ravens? D-Mace, your other franchise, just laying a beatdown on the Houston Texans. If you're a Titans fan, you love that yesterday, 41-7.
You still think Danny Dimes is going to be better than Lamar Jackson? You sticking by that?
I never said that. I never tweeted that. Isn't that the way this works in 2019?
Yeah, it's true.
Lie about whatever you said.
As long as you just continue to say,
if you are convincing, in
it's
your
not
lie,
in the transcript. Yeah. It's not in the transcript.
If you are convincing in your lie, then people
will
believe it.
I'll just go back to the baseball players in 2005 on Capitol Hill, like Rafael Palmeiro. I'll point my finger at Congress adamantly. I never took performance-enhancing drugs.
But Mr. Kale, we have a copy of the tweet
right
here.
That wasn't me.
But this is somebody got your name on it.
Somebody hacked. He was hacked.
It says right here on this tweet that you think Daniel Jones has had a better career than...
Folks, that's fake news.
Here's the question, though. Is it still okay to still have questions about Lamar Jackson long-term while also still loving and appreciating what he's doing now? Is that possible?
People can have.
Is it irrational?
The constable sent me a text yesterday. He said he thinks that Lamar Jackson and the Ravens are going to win the Super Bowl. He doesn't think it's sustainable long term, but it's good enough this year.
That's kind of what I'm asking.
It's sustainable as long as he stays healthy. This type of, this spread offense, I don't even know if it's a spread offense. They're running a football. They're play action. This is just it's a conventional but awkward way to run an offense, because what they're doing is old school running a football. That's what they're doing.
Throwing it to the tight end.
Yeah, they may be doing it a unconventional way, but they are running a football. And when you have a quarterback like Lamar, you have to cover 52 yards wide and 100 yards long.
Every
blade of grass with Lamar Jackson. Yep. And he's not only proven, which I don't think anyone doubted, his ability to run the football, but he's proven that he can throw. Now, is he a great passer? Probably not. He still has a lot to work on. But he's proven that those over-the-middle routes, those crossers, all that stuff to the tight ends or – even some deep passes, that he can complete them. He has his highest completion rate he's had since he's been playing football. Let's just say that, probably. But you gotta tip your hat off to Greg Roman. And I was listening to them yesterday, and Greg Roman brought in every coach imaginable that ran some form of this offense, and he brought them all in to kind of pick their brain and kind of take all of that and put it together so Lamar can have the best opportunity to win. I've always said offensive coordinator job is to put the guys in a position to be successful. Well, he's put Lamar in a position to be successful. And as long as they continue to block for him up front, and as long as those running backs stay healthy and those tight ends stay healthy, this offense will work. Now, if people start to go down, just like any other offense, you see Tom Brady going through it, but he's getting older too. But when those players are getting hurt and people start to fall off, you are going to feel the effects. So as long as Baltimore stays healthy, I don't care if it's 5 years down the line. If they are a healthy offense, this offense will continue to work.
Michael Vick is really the only guy to sort of sustain it long term. Robert Griffin had this number of games under his belt, and we were all saying this guy's exceptional and changing the game. And Vince Young did the same thing. And, Kyler Murray is a different breed because his arm is so good. He's so accurate as a passer goes that I think he will evolve into a pocket passer potentially, with like Russell Wilson, the ability to scramble and avoid contact. But he's always looking to throw rather than to run the way Lamar is. I think it's okay to look at Lamar Jackson and appreciate what he's accomplishing right now and what the Ravens are doing, and then also at the same time say, is it sustainable over a decade? Can you do it for 12 years? Because Michael Vick is really the only one that's ever been able to do it. And even then, he got hurt a few times. And the prison stuff is not related, obviously. But I think it's still fair to ask the question, is it sustainable for Lamar Jackson? Because what happens after 2 or 3 years of any good player? You start to get tape and defensive coordinators start to figure out ways to attack you. And maybe Lamar Jackson is the first of this super quarterback wave. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Maybe he is. Listen, I didn't think he was going to be accurate enough to be a great NFL quarterback long term. So my questions, I can't really ask those same questions anymore because he's proven that he's accurate.
Well, it's hard to believe that his completion percentage could be higher in the pros than they were in college.
It's insane. And so to me, it's more about like what you're saying, Derek, is can he stay healthy? Can he sustain it? And I'm not talking about over a 1 year, 2 year, 3 year period. Like you're saying, Nick, Chase says, hey, I think they could win the Super Bowl in the next couple of years. That's very possible. The question is can you be available for your team? Because what do we go through with Marcus? All he missed was 1 or 2 games a year, and he's never available. He misses 2 games a year for only 14 starts. Well, what happens if Lamar Jackson in his 5th season misses the whole year from a major injury, mm-hmm. and then in his 8th year he misses an entire season from another injury? That's pure speculation, and it may not be fair to him. But I think it's fair to have that question still in your head, to say he is elite right now. It's amazing what they're accomplishing, appreciate what they're accomplishing, and then say, I still don't know if you can do it for 12 years.
But if he wins the Super Bowl, that people don't care. Baltimore fans are like, we got our Super Bowl. We got another Super Bowl. So you can say after 7 years, people have caught up with them. We don't care, but we got what we wanted out of it, and that's the Super Bowl. He's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. But here's the thing: is this offense going to work? Will it work long term? I think a lot of that is predicated on Greg Roman, because we look at Bill Belichick, we look at Andy Reid, guys that have been doing the same system over and over again. And I'm pretty sure after year 3 or 4, people are still, well, can this Andy Reid offense work? Can this Bill Belichick offense work? Well, it's been working. So can Greg Roman, can this offense work the way it's operating? Can Greg Roman kind of morph into something even more? If he stays status quo, then people are going to catch up with it. But if he changes things here and there, like Andy Reid has, like Bill Belichick has, like some of these great callers have, if you continue to add to what you have, then no matter what, people are not going to be able to stop you. That's just the way it is.
Elsewhere in the AFC South, the Colts beat the Jaguars 33-13. Indy outrushed the Jaguars 264-29. Marlon Mack will be out on Thursday Night Football against the Houston Texans. But I would just like to thank Frank Wright and the Colts for continually giving Titans fans and Arthur Smith the blueprint. Like, the Colts told us how to beat the Chiefs, right? Mm-hmm. Run right at them. Arthur Smith, we implored him, use Derrick Henry against the Chiefs. Well, what did the Colts do against the Jaguars? Ran it right down their gullet. Who did the Titans play this week? The Jaguars. Run it right down their throat.
And they don't have to even watch the Colts to get that game plan. They've had that game plan since drafting Derrick Henry. I mean, their game plan for Derrick Henry loves playing Jacksonville. It's his hometown team. He loves playing against the Jags. He's dominated the Jags in his career. They shouldn't have to look at the Colts. Now, the interesting thing with the Colts is they win a game, but how costly is it? With Marlon Mack getting hurt, their receivers still aren't healthy. T.Y. Hilton and Paris Campbell aren't playing. So, there's how many Colts are standing at the end of the year, I think, is an interesting question. Because, again, at 6-4, they're in the division lead. The Titans are a game back of being in first place of their division with the game against Jacksonville, Indianapolis, and 2 with Houston coming up. Like, they've got it all sitting in front of them. I'm not saying they're good enough to win those games, but it's the NFL. Anything can happen. And the way the Colts are falling, dropping like flies, and the way Nick Foles doesn't appear to be any better than Gardner Minshew, I don't see why. I think there's opportunity here for the Titans. The defense has to be healthier. They have to be better. Tannehill has to keep doing what he's doing, and they've got to feed Derrick Henry the football.
Buffalo, Oakland, and Indianapolis all winners. Pittsburgh, Houston, Jacksonville all losers in the AFC. I tell you what, this Buffalo team, I know they played the Dolphins. I just don't know how they do it. Like, how do they have 7 wins? Josh Allen's more of a threat to run than he is to throw.
Their defense, man.
Yeah, defense. We tried to tell you in the summer the defense was going to be good.
God, I hate the Bills.
If you look at,
why?
I mean,
I just do
New England. But if you look at it, and we are all enamored by what New England does each and every year. But if this defense wasn't the way they were, they would have more losses on their
now,
resume.
Now, I will say this. Let's count.
It's defenses.
I love the defense for the Bills. You don't have to sell me. I was trying to sell everybody else on the defense. Here's their schedule. Wins over the Jets. Giants.
They play the same schedule Patriots play.
Bengals. Titans. Okay. Might be their best win on their resume, actually. Then the Dolphins. Then the Redskins. Then the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Their seven wins are over, like,
sound like New England.
Six of the worst teams in the NFL and the Titans.
Who are their three losses?
Their three losses are to the Browns, to the Eagles, and to the Patriots. So the arguably three of the four best teams they played, they lost.
Yeah.
The Titans are actually their best win.
Okay. There you have it. Nobody circles the wagons quite like the Buffalo Bills.
And the Steelers have a tiebreaker right now with a 4-3 conference record, whereas the Titans have a 3-4 conference record. Another reason why, had Jacksonville won that game yesterday, Jacksonville would actually have moved. They would have been 5-5, but they would have had a 5-3 conference record. So not only the head-to-head tiebreaker over the Titans, but the secondary tiebreaker as well. Division record would be better for the Jags as well. So that loss actually for Jacksonville was probably what the Titans needed, because it kind of clears Jacksonville out of the way, and now you can focus on catching the Colts and the Texans.
Okay, so let's get to the hockey team on the other side. Our very own Jeremy Gover tweeted this out on Saturday. He said, I asked Austin Watson what the balance was between letting a loss like this piss the Predators off and just letting it go. Austin Watson's response, quote, I think there's times for leaving it behind, but when it turns into a stretch of games like it has, me personally, I'm not going to be able to leave it behind. We will not leave it behind either, because we will get to Saturday's debacle next on Morning Drive.
Guys, let me tell you about an equation you need to hear about, and that is one that adds up to big savings. Let's do the math. Now you can get Xfinity Internet and Xfinity Mobile each for $30 a month. Pretty simple equation, right? An easy equation, an awesome equation. That equals awesome Wi-Fi from America's best internet provider and the best LTE on the go. It's the ultimate coverage solution. It's all in the numbers. You can save up to $400 a year on your wireless bill with Xfinity Mobile. And until December 8th, you can get even more money back. $250 off the deal when you purchase an eligible smartphone. It's basically the perfect equation. Xfinity makes saving simple, easy, and awesome. Don't miss out on Xfinity Internet and Mobile each for $30 a month. You'll get internet now up to 100 megabits per second download speed for 12 months with a one-year agreement, and Xfinity Mobile with 3 gigs of shared wireless data. Go to Xfinity.com/save big. That's Xfinity.com/save big. Call 1-800-XFINITY or visit an Xfinity store today for more details. Requires EcoBill and AutoPay. Internet offer ends 12/8/19. New performance internet customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change. After agreement term, regular rate supply. Wireless savings compared to averages on top providers. Actual speeds may vary and not guaranteed. Preds, when we come back.
Fed over by Turris, and the shot by Yossi is... Did it go in? Yep, they're putting in. Roman Yossi with 2 goals tonight. Looked like the play was dead, and Robin Leonard appeared to give up on it. Fed over by Turris, and the shot by Yossi is... Did it go in? Yep, they're putting in. Roman Yossi with 2 goals tonight. Looked like the play was dead, and Robin Leonard appeared to give up on it. And time runs out. Here tonight, the Chicago Blackhawks beat the Nashville Predators by a final of 7-2.
Not many highlights lately for your Nashville Predators, and that's where we go this morning here on Morning Drive. They have now lost 4 in a row as they fall at home at Bridgestone Arena Saturday night to the Blackhawks 7-2. So 4 straight losses, 6 of 7, and in these 7 games, 4 times they've given up 5 goals, 6 goals, 7 goals, 9 goals. I've been one of those guys who has said that Peter Laviolette has evolved. He's not a hellfire and brimstone guy day in and day out like he used to be maybe early on in his Nashville days, certainly in his Philadelphia Flyer days. But if there was ever a day where I would just put my feet up and just let Peter Laviolette rip each and every one of them to shreds in that dressing room, I would be all for it today. Because this stretch of hockey, and I know we don't overreact to small sample size, but this is now beyond a small sample size. This is embarrassing, the way they're playing.
Yeah, it's
bad.
This defense has been a question since the beginning, and I think, you know, we asked Peter Laviolette in the beginning of the year when we talked to him with coffee with the coach, and he gave us an answer pretty openly and candidly. He said, "Listen, we're giving up too many high danger chances. You know, Peck is playing really well. UC's not, has not. The defense has not been as good. We're giving up too many goals against per game. We need to work on it. Okay. Well, then the next time we talked to him, which was last week, and I asked him, you know, how do you feel now about it? Even though, you know, your defense looks a little bit better, but you're still giving up 9 to Colorado and 5 to Vancouver and, you know, whatever. And his answer was pretty defensive, I thought. I thought he made an excuse for the Colorado game and said, oh, you just kind of throw that one out there. He made an excuse for the third period against Calgary and say, oh, that was just one period. We played 2 good periods before that. The reason they got to 5 goals, Vancouver, was an empty netter. It was really a 4-3 game. And that all is true. All of those points are valid. But now you've lost 6 out of 7, and you've given up 5 or more goals in, what, almost half your games of the season so far? This is no longer just a tiny stretch of hockey. This has been an issue the entire year. And now your goaltending's not helping. Now your goaltending is part of the problem. It's not just high danger chances. In no way, shape, or form should you be giving up 7 a touchdown at home to a terrible hockey team on a Saturday night. You're 0-3-1 on Saturday nights at home this year. It's just, it makes absolutely no sense what's happening. And again, you could point to high danger chances at the beginning of the year and the goaltending wasn't the issue. Now it seems like goaltending's more of an issue. Whenever the penalty kill's been a problem, every aspect of their defensive zone is starting to fail them at some point or another. They cannot get it all working together, and it's got to be a major concern. You're not in the playoffs right now. If the season ends today, you're not in the playoffs.
This team, and you don't want to, you know, overreact.
It's November, Derek. Exactly. I want you to overreact.
No, I'm just saying in general. You don't want to overreact, but we've seen this sort of play out before in regards to a problem. The power play last year, you know, we were like, okay, they'll get it fixed, and then became, oh, man, you know, this might end up being a problem. And then, oh, man, they are bad. Like, there's no way to fix this. No matter how many times they say, yeah, we need to get it fixed, we're all pissed off, all this yada, yada, yada. But this is not going to get fixed, and it's going to come back and bite them.
Well, and there's only 7 teams in the Central Division.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one team worse right now than the Predators. It's the Minnesota Wild.
The Blackhawks are ahead of you in the standings.
Yeah, and then not. And so
you are a better team than the Chicago Blackhawks.
Well, no, you're not, because the records, I mean, it is what it is. You are what your records say you are. But we know this team has talent. They have talent across the board. And I don't know. It's like we've said before, and I've said in regards to football, either you're coaching it or you're allowing it to happen. So whatever is going on from a defensive standpoint, either you're coaching it, which I would think that's not the case in regards to them going out there and playing hard defense. Either you're coaching and allowing it to happen. I don't think either is the case.
Well, you've made the analogy that they're the Kansas City Chiefs. They can score at will, but they can't stop anybody. I'll take it a step further. They're a Big 12 football team right now. They can light it up like a video game, but they can't stop anybody.
And the thing is that you're going to run into teams that are good defensively. And, you know, they're going to be able to, as we've seen with Kansas City, you know, they're going to be able to slow you down. And if you can't stop them, then you're not going to win.
They have given up, I believe now, if I'm looking at these stats correctly, they have given up the 4th most goals in the Western Conference behind only Calgary,
yep,
San Jose, and Los Angeles.
They are 22nd in the NHL in goals against per game at 3.4 goals per game. 3.5 goals a game?
And that is just...
You can't win championships that way.
That's unacceptable. You know, you can't have that from a team that, you know, their MO was playing really good defense. And you know, they were lacking on the offensive side, meaning they couldn't score like they are now. But one thing you were not going to do is just boat race them with 7 goals, 9 goals, 7 goals, 5 goals. You weren't going to do that. You might beat them 1-0 or 2-1, but you're not beating them, you know, scoring 7, 9, 5 goals. And now it's... Everything's been flipped on his head.
4 of the next 5 are at home, but that doesn't seem that really encouraging, because you got the Jets coming here, the Canucks coming here, the Golden Knights coming here, and in between that, you have a home and home with the Blues. And oh, by the way, speaking of the Blues, once again, a home loss on a Saturday. Like, I'm at a point now where I think we should just get rid of the day Saturday in this state.
Yeah, and that is a different subject. I think they went 6-7 last year at home on Saturdays, and they're 0-3-1 this year, so they've had a losing record over the last 2 years at home on Saturdays. That feels like a statistical just bizarre oddity, right? It doesn't feel like a thing that you can actually – like, what's any different about Saturday than Tuesday or Thursday as far as, like, the actual player's day Saturday. Of preparation? Like, there's no real difference there. So I don't really know what to make of that. I don't think I can – you know,
the Saturday Blues.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. I think, though, you look at Winnipeg and, you know, Winnipeg's won 7 out of 10. St. Louis has won 7 out of 10. And those are three of your next few games here. I mean, there's – this is a critical stretch at home for this team. They've got to get out of the slump that they are currently in.
Here's what I'm afraid can possibly happen with this team, because it's not like – it's sort of like basketball to me. It's not – it's total opposite of football, because football, you have an offensive unit and a defensive unit. You have two different units. Guys don't play both sides of the ball. So it works a little bit different, but when you have – you know, a sport where you have to play both offense and defense with basically the same guys, what I'm afraid of is that you exert so much energy in everything else trying to fix the defensive side of the ball, side of the puck, that, you know, you give up a lot on the offense. You become more now defensive-minded instead of trying to score, and you're going to end up, even though you might limit the goals, you still end up losing because you put so much energy on trying to stop teams on the defensive side of the puck, and you're, you know, sort of, you know, jeopardizing what you can do on the offensive side.
What's so weird is that David Poile told us this was the plan. I mean, that's what's so weird about this is he was like, listen, we can't care about defense. I mean, this is not – I'm paraphrasing here for the sake of entertainment purposes. Mm-hmm. But he's like, listen, we clearly made moves to build our forward group up and to enhance our offense at the detriment of our defense. That he said that equation to us in some way, shape, or form all summer long. I mean, that was his point, was we're going to trade P.K. Subban and we're going to spend a bunch of money on Matt Duchene. And exactly what happened has happened. Right, mm-hmm. They're not as good on defense, and they're far better on offense. The question is that formula good enough to win? And can the coaching staff get the most out of these players, in particular Ellis, Ekholm, Josi, the core that's still together on the defensive side of things? Right now, Pekka-Rinne and UC Saros aren't carrying their weight. Mm-hmm. Like they're not doing their jobs either right now. Pekka was phenomenal at the start of the year. It's irrational to expect him to continue that throughout the course of the whole season. It's also probably irrational to expect teams to score 6 goals on you. I think defensively they're going to get far better, and they'll solve some problems.
But are they?
So we can't panic. I mean,
are they?
There's no reason to panic 21, 22 games into the season, but you are more than a quarter of the way through. And so you can start to look at a team and say, this is what you are now. Now it may take you 20 games to change that narrative, and they can do it. Of course they can do it. They're good enough, but this is the narrative now, that you've given up 5 or more goals 8 times this year. It's almost half your games. Like, you got to change the narrative. Then the only ones that can do it are you guys.
Preds fans, your calls. If you want to weigh in on the latest, 615-737-1025. The number 737-1025. Is it time for Peter Laviolette to maybe light a fire under these guys? 615-737-1025. We will do our best to motivate the Nashville Predators to get them out of this funk, as only Morning Drive can do, and we will do that next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 7:48, welcome back in. Monday edition of Morning Drive. Aaron Suttles covers the Alabama Crimson Tide for The Athletic, also with Jocks FM in Birmingham. He'll join us at the top of the hour. We'll talk about Tua Tagovailoa's college football career being over, and obviously everything that transpired on Saturday with he and Nick Saban before halftime. But the Predators have a big stretch coming up. 5 big important games before we get to Thanksgiving. That will take us right through the day before Thanksgiving. You've got St. Louis twice. You've got Winnipeg. You've got Vegas. So there's some big-time opponents. So we realize here on Morning Drive that, you know, it's a long season. You go into funks. You lose 4 in a row. You lose 6 of 7. And sometimes you need somebody to ignite the fire. And no, I'm not talking about the Titans promotional department.
No, not Fred Funk.
Not Fred Funk. Not Tory Funk or any other funk.
Not Terry Funk.
Not Terry Funk.
Not but the Funkadelics.
Exactly right.
No, what about a P-Funk?
Not P-Funk. Not Master Funk. But Peter LaViolette says, you know what? Enough is enough. So we bring out Philadelphia Flyer head coach Peter LaViolette.
Scoring chances that period were 7-1 for the opposition. Do you know why, Hartsey? Because it's about as casual as it gets. As casual as it gets. In Boston, we said, all right, got mixed in the schedule. Let's turn the page. Somebody tell me, what the is the difference now? What's the problem now? I want to see people rip their heart out of their chest this period. And if you don't, you're probably not going to like your ice time. Take your first shift. You'll get it. Earn the second one. I'm not putting up with it. It's too much horse. It's too much. Don't allow it. D-zone coverage, soft down low. Out to the points, casual strides. We don't want to block a shot because it hurts. One game, Boston. All right, let's move on. Tonight, unacceptable. Not going to happen. We're way better than what we just showed. Every guy in here knows it, and you should not accept it. Don't. You got 20 minutes. You win a period, you win a game, we move on. But you need to dig in right now, every guy. Enough is enough. Start playing with some jam in here. Let's go.
That will forever be an all-timer for me personally.
Start playing with some jam.
HBO, some jam. I believe the 24/7 Winter Classic build-up, Flyers Rangers.
That was a while back.
Like, I mean, is he at the point where he needs to have one of those speeches?
Maybe in the mirror.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, it's not just the players. It's the coaching staff as well. But you're right. It's the effort needs to be there on defense. I don't know how much you can scream at a goaltender. I don't know how, like, goaltenders, I feel like, are like pitchers. You can't really, like, if you're talking to the fourth line, yeah, I feel like you can scream and yell, and the fourth line's going to get crazy. You know, if you're a linebacker on defense, you get yelled at, and you're like, oh, you turn into a snarling maniac, and then you go attack the offensive line. I'm not sure what you do with Pecorine and UC Saros. Like, you can't pull those two guys aside and just, like, scream at them. Like, you can't. I don't know about how. That's just a great question. How do you handle goaltending from a motivational standpoint when Pecorine is the ultimate self motivator, needs no motivation whatsoever? You know, Yossi and Ellis and Ekholm have been around long enough. They don't need to be yelled at. Dan Hamish has been around forever. You know, Matt Irwin can't turn the puck over in terrible situations. I don't know what the issue is. If it's maybe it's the forward group back checking, I don't know what the issue is. The danger, high danger chances were not as bad lately, but the goaltending's been worse. So if it's not one thing, it's another thing. Defensive zone coverage, you know, no jam, right? Your penalty kill is not playing well, so you're taking too many penalties, and then, which was an issue. Remember our narrative 2 years ago with this team was they were in the box too often, right? Then they can't kill penalties, and now the goaltending has chipped in a little bit of like they're playing poorly as well. So it's just it all comes together.
I just feel like it's putting together 60 minutes, and I'm not just talking about the execution, it's the energy level. You know, you look at this division, and we all believe that, you know, there's a handful of teams in this division that could certainly make a run in the postseason, whether that's Dallas, whether that's St. Louis, whether that's Colorado. You can't take 20 minutes off and have, well, we played 40 minutes of really good hard hockey tonight. You literally have to skate hard 60 minutes each and every night. And I know that's almost impossible to do over the course of 82 games. But this team is too good to have lost 4 in a row, 6 of the last 7, and done so in such underwhelming fashion. Like, if they were losing a bunch of shootouts, overtime, one-loss games, okay.
3-2, 4-3,
but, I mean,
three,
just
whatever.
Getting shredded on the other end of the ice is unacceptable.
And this is where you have to be careful, because they are good enough to break a slump. You're always going to have slumps. It's just the way hockey goes. You're going to play a 6, 7, 8, 10-game stretch where you're not good, and there's one thing that's not working for you. And on one night, it's one thing, and on another night, it's a different thing. And that's just sort of the nature of the game. But it's hard to look at a team over the course of 19 games now, which is almost a quarter of the season, right around a quarter of the season, and say, oh, you're going to give up 7 to the Kings? You're going to give up, you know, 5 to the Red Wings? You're giving up 7 to the Blackhawks? It's one thing for the Capitals to score goals on you, you know, or whatever, the Avalanche. Even though the Avalanche scored 9, which is insane, and also didn't have 2 of their top 4 offensive players in that game. So, I mean, you can make all the excuses you want. The point is you're giving up 3.4 goals per game, and that's almost You know, you're talking about one of the worst 8 or 10 defensive teams in the league right now. And so it's on them to fix it.
If you miss any of the show, we have moved all of our on-demand audio to Apple and Spotify. Search Morning Drive in Apple or Spotify or log on to thegamenashville.com to find our daily audio. Rate, review, and subscribe today. Coming up next, Aaron Suttles covers the Alabama Crimson Tide for The Athletic. We'll get to Tua, Saban, college football playoff, and all things on the Bama front next on Morning Drive.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.